This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Much like spring follows winter, every dairy market boom is followed by a bust and vice versa. Dairy farmers are entering a fourth straight year of low prices as global milk production has grown faster than demand. The all milk price averaged more than $25 per hundredweight at certain points in 2014, but it has been downhill from there. The milk price hit just $15.30 per hundredweight as of February 2018, and it's not expected to get above $16 to $17 this year. With no price recovery in sight, many of us personally know a dairy farming family that is getting out of production after generations of being in business. About 10% of dairy farms across the nation have shut down over the past year. Just in the last few days, I have heard from good dairy farming friends that they're selling all their cows. This is the best business decision, a member of the family said. However, it's never been just a job to us. It's how we raise our family. Without our beloved cows, who in the world are we? I think most of us in agriculture can relate to that, no matter what we grow or raise. In March, I saw a news article about a farm in Vermont that auctioned off its cows and equipment. Turns out that farm was owned by former Vermont Farm Bureau President Clark Hinsdale. According to the article, his was one of 12 dairy farms in that state to exit the dairy business just since January. Clark's summation that the structure of dairy farming is changing, that smaller family operations cannot sustain themselves, is concerning. When the market eventually turns in a better direction, and it will, most of the small, family-operated dairies that have shut down will not come back. It's heartbreaking to watch as second, third, and fourth generation dairy farms call it quits. This will have an irreversible impact. There is help on the way. With milk prices down and production costs up, the national dairy margin under USDA's Dairy Margin Protection Program in February 2018 fell to $6.88 per hundredweight, the lowest level since June 2016. While that reflection of today's dairy industry is nothing to cheer about, a silver lining is the lower margin will trigger much-needed program payments to farmers. Also, Congress recently passed legislation to make the program work better, including monthly margin calculations instead of bi-monthly and providing catastrophic coverage at the $5 margin level at no cost to producers. With those changes in place, USDA has opened the enrollment period for MPP coverage for 2018. It is hoped that more dairy farmers will sign up. In addition, Farm Bureau has been working with USDA to develop a revenue insurance product much like crop insurance for dairy farmers. Dairy farming is risky business. Producers need adequate risk management, and Farm Bureau is excited about developing another tool to help them survive times like this. We look forward to being able to share more information about the program soon. The old saying in dairy farming is the cure for low prices is low prices, meaning prices will go back up on the basis of reduced supply as farms shut down or cull herds. That acceptance of the cyclical nature of dairying might be of some help to get through the downturns by focusing on the upswing to come. But the bust that dairy farmers are facing today seems worse and more prolonged. This doesn't feel like business as usual, even for dairy. Many of us are necessarily focused on national policy solutions and global market trends. These are important, but I will close by focusing on the people behind the policies and the data. The trait that I've found in just about every farmer I've ever known is that special spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood that abides in agriculture. Our unique understanding of what our fellow farmers and ranchers are going through, our mutual respect for the farming way of life, and our willingness to offer an ear and a prayer to those in the farming family who are struggling. If you are a dairy farmer trying to hold on, please talk with your friends and neighbors and let them be a source of emotional support. If you know a dairy farmer, offer him or her an act of kindness, even if it's a small favor or just an invitation to come over for supper and talk as friends. In times like this, little things can have a big impact. Better days are ahead. Let's help each other get there. On Tuesday, AFBF joined a collaborative effort to reduce food waste and loss. The No Taste for Waste campaign features an interactive website, special edition bookazine, and social media resources for consumers interested in reducing household food waste, and for farmers and ranchers who are taking steps to fight food loss in their fields. AFBF and other partners, including Land O'Lakes Sustain, Valiant Biosciences Corporation, and FLM Harvest, collaborated with the Crop Life Foundation and Meredith Agrimedia to launch the No Taste for Waste campaign. The campaign connects consumers to real farmers like Washington State apple growers Mike and April Clayton, who work hard to use sustainable practices and act as good stewards of the land while reducing food waste. American Farm Bureau Federation Senior Director of Congressional Relations David Samuelson was quoted in a New York Daily News article on China's response to American-imposed tariffs on steel and aluminum imports from China. Beijing announced sweeping tariffs on more than 120 U.S. food products, noted the New York Daily News. Samuelson explained that the impact of Chinese agricultural tariffs is not yet known. Depending on how much less buying there is, it'll impact producers, Samuelson told the Daily News. It'll come down to farmers. It'll come down to producers. They'll take the hit at some point. On March 29th, the Agriculture Department released its much-anticipated Prospective Plantings Report. The Prospective Plantings Report gives the first estimate of the area farmers are expected to plant to row crops for the upcoming year based on survey responses during the first 2 weeks of March. The largest takeaway from the report is that for the first time since the Payment in Kind program of 1983, soybean acres planted will be greater than corn acres planted. Pre-report survey estimates in advance of the Prospective Plantings Report were for 87.6 to 91 million acres of corn, 89.9 to 92.6 million acres of soybeans, 43.9 to 47.2 million acres of wheat, and 13 to 13.6 million acres of cotton. The average of the analyst estimates was 89.4 million acres of corn, 91.1 million acres of soybeans, 46.3 million acres of all wheat, and 13.3 million acres of cotton. American Farm Bureau Federation's David Samuelson was quoted in a Wall Street Journal article on China's retaliation against American tariffs placed on their steel and aluminum exports. The Chinese Finance Ministry explained that penalties range from 25% on American pork and eight other kinds of goods to 15% on fruit and 120 types of commodities, the Wall Street Journal reported. Samuelson, AFBF Senior Director of Congressional Relations, told the Journal, "It's nothing we like to see. We know it will have some impacts." On the back of falling milk prices and increasing feed costs for dairy cattle, in February 2018, the Agriculture Department's national dairy production margin fell to the lowest level since 2016 at $6.88 per hundredweight. The February margin is down 15% from the prior month and down 35% from last year. The $7, $7.50, and $8 coverage options all triggered program payments for February. Farmers enrolled at the $7, $7.50, and $8 coverage options will be eligible for a program payment of 12 cents, 62 cents, and $1.12 per hundredweight, respectively. For a farm covering 5 million pounds of milk, the MPP payment represents $500 for $7 coverage to nearly $4,700 for $8 coverage. On March 23rd, new tariffs on steel and aluminum imports into the U.S. went into effect. While they are being applied to all exporters of steel and aluminum, with a few exceptions, the clear target is China. As was outlined in the March 5th Market Intel article from AFBF, China is far and away the largest producer of steel and aluminum in the world. Even though it doesn't export much steel to the U.S., China does export a significant volume of aluminum. On April 2nd, China countered with tariffs aimed at more than 120 U.S. products. of the 128 tariffs lines on China's list, 94 are agricultural in nature, the remainder are steel and aluminum. The agricultural lines are divided into two categories, 86 products that will be subject to an additional 15% tariff and 8 products that will be subject to an additional 25% tariff. Every morning, Robert Heath wakes up in Warwickshire, England, and heads to the farm. He's grabbing coffee and communicating with the other 8 family member partners involved in H.G. Heath & Sons. The family business is like family farms and ranches here in the U.S., except for one big difference: Brexit. The decision made by the United Kingdom to leave the European Union. Understanding the UK farmer's perspective starts with a simple question. According to Heath, after seeing what's going on with Brexit and everything else, how do you protect a farming business? And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.